because Stephen and I are going to tag team this morning. We'll do that in a minute. But let's start. Power of relationship. Who's glad they've got a relationship with God? So we're talking about the power of relationship. Now, I want to come to a psalm that we just sung, a song that matches this particular psalm. So if you come with me, please, to Psalm 78. And I'm going to read it to you in the New Living Translation as a way of opening up today. And then Pastor Stephen's going to take over from there. We all ready?
Yeah.
All right. So this is verse Psalm 78, verse 1 to 8. Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Who thinks that's good? Who'd like to listen more? Yeah, all of us. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born yet, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. It's a good history lesson right there, even in the world, right? Who knows that God's got all the wisdom? And so this is a great psalm. Our Asaf was actually a music director. And so they sang this, and so we sang that this morning, and I thought that was quite appropriate. Now, there is great advice in this psalm for our lives, and I'm not here to expound on that because we're, as I said, Stephen and I are sharing this morning, but let me just a few things. First of all, who's glad that they've read that psalm this morning and it's got meaning for our life? And that there's some key things in this psalm. The psalm encourages us to act out our faith. You can't sit dormant as a Christian. You have to share it. You have to talk about it. You have to, at the very least, talk to your children so that the next generation... Anyway, let me not get too far ahead. The psalm exhorts us to tell stories about what God has done for us. The psalm extols us to speak about the wonders and miracles God has done in our lives. Who's got a miracle that you know that God has done in your life? Just give me a wave. Come on, that's nearly pretty much everyone. But who knows, because God is a supernatural God. Miracles happen. All right. Let's not go there either, Nigel. Stick to the points. This psalm teaches us that it is imperative to have God's word close to our heart. Listen to my instruction. This psalm encourages us to have an inward walk with God so that we will not forget him. Who knows, it's easy to forget him. So we need this power of relationship in our lives. This psalm describes to us that it is through... This battery's just died, Claire. Never mind. All good. This psalm describes to us that this is through the power of relationship that we will benefit ourselves, our children, and our children's children. Most parents, I have observed, want their best for their kids. Would that be true? Yeah, who's a parent here and you don't want to give your child anything, you're not really interested? There'd be no one like that. There'd be no parent like that. So here we go. So we want them to go to the best school that we can possibly afford, or at least get the best education, right? Any parents out there, come on, agree with me. We want our kids to celebrate their birthdays and key events well. Yes? I can hear Stephen. All right. We want to give them nice things. Yes. Who's a grandparent here? Who spoils their grandkids? It's just part of life. All right. We want them to do well in life, our children, right? So this Psalm of Asaph says that above all else we may do as a parent, it is through our power of relationship that our children will have their best life. So it's not necessarily about what we give them, although those things are going to happen naturally, but the most important thing, the most crucial thing, the most relevant thing, the most powerful thing we can do is share the power of relationship we have with our God. And so for those of you who do not have children, I'm sure there's a number here this morning, it is still the power of relationship that it will inspire and provide a solid base for others to follow. Now, we all have stories we can share about what God has done for us. Some of those miracles that when you raise your hands, there's a story there that some of us would need to write down and share, because they're powerful moments in our life and experience as a Christian that we pass on to the next generation. We pass on to our friends. We pass on to those in our connect group, because it inspires our faith and keeps us in the power of relationship. And Pastor Stephen is going to come in a moment and share more on the legs of this vision of love God, each other, the community, which is on the back of the t-shirt. So let me just share a story. A brief story. I'll try and be brief on the story of this church. Because our church has reached a milestone. In 1996, 25 years ago, Andrew and I planted our church with the able help of Charlie and Helen. Where's Charlie and Helen? Charlie and Helen. And Dom and Deanne Sinek. It was known then as Port Community Church. We became a part of C3 Church in the year 2000. Now, as a church, the first 5 years were particularly fabulous. We had no musicians. And I don't mean one, I mean none. For 5 years. Dom Sinek was an absolute superstar, because for the first 5 years, he mimicked Darlene Check. Can you imagine? But God had a plan for his church. Some of the first things we did, we went to our very first location was a tennis club. I remember we nearly lost a child. We couldn't find them anywhere. And there was a river not far. Anyway, we found the child. It's okay. We had $1 million views, East Fremantle Tennis Court. Incredible. But no people came. Well, actually, people did come, but then they left. We moved to another facility. In the East Fremantle Football Club, there was something about sporting clubs that seemed to work for us, but that was a maze. We were down in the dungeon 1 week with all the beer parties that they had the night before. We had to clear away all the beer bottles before we could have church. And then another time we'd be in a different room, and it was impossible for people to find us. And in the beginning, all of us volunteered our time. It was around 7-8 years before, I think it was myself, possibly Helen, that we started to get a part-time wage. And before I share one particular part of our story a little more, I want to just mention this. What was it that kept us going every Sunday? What was it that eventually gave us momentum and growth? It's the same thing. It was the power of relationship. Verse 7 of this psalm. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. There are other people who joined our church early in the piece who have helped us to get where we are. Having successfully established a childcare centre in my lovely wife, Andrea, and Caroline Moore. We had another lady who's now in Queensland. And that is doing particularly well for us. I'll explain how we achieved this building in a moment before I hand over to Stephen. You know, it takes more than one person to achieve great things. Especially when I achieve great things for God, right? It's never one person. And there were many times we held each other up each other's hands to get the work done. And we know that it is through belonging to his house that is ultimately going to be rewarding for you and I. You will obtain the prize. The power of relationship should never be underestimated. God has got you covered. So, let me share parts of our building story. This building, and about 9 years into our church, still having less people than the average size church in Australia. Does anyone know what the average size church in Australia is? It's about 70 people. So we still, well, actually, if we counted cats and mice, we were about 70 people. And we decided to put an offer on this building that was advertised for $2.1 million with $30,000 in our building account. With those people that had been with us for about, well, most of them have been with us for about five years, something like that. And we'd been speaking about raising money for this project. And we took our proposal to the church, and long story short, we raised in one evening, well, after talking to all the people, $446,000. There is something about the power of relationship, but also what God wants to do in breaking open new ground. And now we have a Pentecostal church that owns property in Frio. Amen. And so, C3 Hepburn Heights, where Andrew and I planted from, actually gave us a loan for 1 year. I think it was about $100,000, might have been a bit more. And we were able to pay that back, but we still were a little bit short. Anyway, God has a way of making things happen when it's not possible. And this is where the story comes into its own. We raised the money. The broker had told us, yep, you're all good to go. We had the business plan from the childcare centre next door. But who knows that whenever you have a building development program that things generally don't work out the way that it's never smooth sailing. And so there's no timing to all this, but we hit the front page of the community newspaper many years ago now. Guess what the title of the community newspaper was? Toxic Childcare. We were famous for all the wrong reasons. And we still needed planning approval from the council. And Psalm 78 has some great advice when it seems almost impossible to advance the kingdom of God in the earth. It answers the question on whether or not we should keep going. Verse 7, so each generation should set its hope anew on? So each generation should set its hope anew on? Do you think that's a good enough reason to expand the church? And God always provides hope when we keep trusting in him. It's the power of relationship. Who knows, too, that God is always going to do his best when we keep doing what we believe is right, that what God's told us. Oh, man. I can see things coming to some of the people in this place. I can see that those of you that don't have homes, that as you trust him and as you put your power of relationship in him, that you will find that God does miracles in your life and you will be able to buy those homes. You see, God's into the miraculous. At our final council meeting, we'd have a number of council meetings, and we went away depressed, deflated, wanting to stab ourselves. Not literally. It wasn't good. And we couldn't see a way forward. And then in the last council meeting, it was do or die. And for some unknown reason, but who knows, God had a plan. For some unknown reason, all the councillors changed their minds, and it was 13 to 2, and we got our approval for this facility. God's amazing. It's the power of relate, but it's also just sticking with what you believe God's got in your heart. And some of you have got stories of things, that, and I know I've talked about this in various ways before, but I sense that this year, like it was almost an argument with God, don't do that, you've done that before. No, sometimes it just takes a number of years before God breaks through in our lives. Now, verse 3, or part of it anyway. Stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Would you like to know how our building story concluded before I invite Stephen up? Andrea collected our children, they were young back then, from primary school in Frio one afternoon. And a few days after the council meeting, she happened to bump into a mum whose husband was a local bank man. Within an hour, a bank in Fremantle and ourselves were discussing our business plan, and we had verbal approval for our loan within days. And the building settled on August 3, 2005. We moved in here late 2006. We are proud owners of 230 and 232 Hampton Road, South Fremantle, 500 metres from the beach. And because of this incredible miracle God provided us, we are now proud owners of 11 Staniford Way, Medina. I have no doubt that this is through the power of relationship. And it's through the power of relationship that we keep going when it seems almost impossible and there's difficult times in our life. Yeah, come up here, Stephen. Come and join me for a sec. Now, hearing your stories is inspiring. Stephen's going to share more on this. I have no doubt that things are going to grow well beyond what we are right now. Can you believe with us?
Yeah.
Can you believe with Stephen and I for this year? Stephen, oh, you're here.
I am, yes.
He's a good-looking young man, isn't he? Let's welcome Stephen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Please put your hands together again for Pastor Nigel. You know, one of the things that's always important to see, I was in a cafe in Subiaco, in 2018, and I was sitting there having breakfast, bacon, avocado, and I saw this group of men, old men, and what seemed to be their sons, you know, and they were there talking and laughing, and you know, and I remember saying to myself, man, it's good to have old people around. You know, it's good to have people that can impart something into your life. You know, because as I looked at their faces, I wondered and I said, like, what's going on? What is their stories? You know, what are they imparting into their children's lives, even though these were now men as well, you know? And the reason I lamented that was because all my fathers are gone. You know? Noah, all my father and his seven and his six brothers are all dead, you know. And you sort of like, I just imagined, you know, I just wish they were here so they could say something to me. They could whisper and say, look, do it this way, not that way. There is power in having both the old and the young together. And there's, because there's an impartation that happens when people gather together. And so there is a power that we have in relationships. You know, I'm just going to quickly go through a story that illustrates the power of relationship. In Genesis verse 18, 17 to 21, and then 30, and then 32 to 33, it says, "Should I hide my plan from Abraham?" Now, this so happened that God had just come around and visited Abraham and Sarah and then said to them, "This time next year you shall have a child." And then God says, "All right, now that I've told you all those good news, I'm leaving." So God leaves and he's going with his angels, two other guys. And these angels then leave and go in a certain direction. And then God begins to ask himself this question, "Should I hide my plan from Abraham?" the Lord asked. "For Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised." So the Lord told Abraham, "I have heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin is so flagrant. I am going down to see if their actions are as wicked as I have heard." You can just imagine that somebody must have been telling God what was happening. It's not like he was disinterested, but it just seems, because he says, I have to go and check it out for myself. Some of my guys have been telling me some things about these people, but let me go do my own due diligence. And so, please don't be angry. And so Abraham begins to plead with the Lord. And the reason he begins to plead with the Lord is because when Abraham set off to move away from his family to go where God had said he should go, he went with his nephew Lot. And so Abraham got rich and Lot, they both got rich. And they decided to go separate ways. And so Lot, thinking he saw a land far away that was very fertile, it looked good to the eye, and he says, "You know what? I'm going there." And so he went to that valley, which was near where Sodom and Gomorrah was. And so somehow, perhaps Abraham knew that his nephew was always going to be up to no good. And so he begins to plead with the Lord. "Please don't be angry, my Lord," Abraham pleaded. "Let me speak. Suppose only 30 righteous people are found." And the Lord replied, "I will not destroy it if I find 30. And so he continues to negotiate with God. And finally, Abraham said, "Please don't be angry with me if I speak one more time. Suppose only 10 are found there." And the Lord replied, "Then I will not destroy it for the sake of the 10. When the Lord had finished his conversation with Abraham, he went on his way, and Abraham returned to his tent. In chapter 19, it says, "Meanwhile, the angels questioned Lot." So the angels had arrived in Sodom and Gomorrah, and they found him sitting at the gates of the city. And they said, "Do you have any other relatives here in the city?" they asked. "Get them out of this place, your sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone else, for we are about to destroy this city completely. The outcry against this place is so great, it has reached the Lord, and he has sent us to destroy it." So Lot rushed out to tell his daughter's fiancés, "Quick, get out of the city. The Lord is about to destroy it." But the young men thought he was joking. At dawn the next morning, the angels became insistent because Lot was dragging his feet. And they said to him, "Take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Get out right now, or you'll be swept away in the destruction of the city." Verse 27 says, "Abraham got up early that morning and hurried out to the place where he had stood in the Lord's presence. He looked out across the plain towards Sodom and Gomorrah and watched as columns of smoke rose from the cities like smoke from a furnace. But God had listened to Abraham's request and kept Lot safe, removing him from the disaster that engulfed the cities on the plain." If that does not demonstrate to us the power of relationship. Because Lot had a nephew, had a relationship with his nephew. He loved him. But Abraham also had a relationship with God. But most importantly, God had a relationship with Abraham, because he was willing to say to him, "Look, this is my guy. You know, I'm going to let him in on the things that I want to do." And so we can see, as the scripture goes, that they were eventually saved. It was just Lot, his two daughters, And his wife, she, you know, for today, that story doesn't matter. She turned into a pillar of salt. You know? But, you know? Yeah. So, God's way mostly works through relationship. Whether you like it or not, his way always works through relationship. Because you see, even though it was decreed that a king, somebody was going to be king, he needed somebody to anoint him. Even in this country, nobody can just declare and say, I am the prime minister. There are other people, people vote for him. And then to validate that vote, the governor general then says they take an oath or whatever. Because you need other people. And you see, the story of this church is not a story about, and this is the story of our lives. It's not about being quick, you know, because there's an African proverb, and you got to love the African proverbs. They're the best in the world. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. You know, if you want to go fast, the best thing to do is to go alone. But if you want to go further, you go together. And so what we want to do is to be those that take the promise of God and say, you know what? We don't want to go there fast. We want to go there further. Because you see, what we tend to do is that we overestimate what we can do in a year, but underestimate what we can do in 20. Because 20 years will go by just like that very quickly. You see, because no man is an island. Even billionaires, even though they'll get up on stage and say, I'm a safe, self-made man, there is no such thing because they needed customers. Because without the customers, they ain't got the money. No matter how many plans you might have. And I just want you to reflect on a story that was spoken in Luke 5, I think verse 18 or verse 8, where a man was paralyzed and four of his friends took him so that they could go to Jesus to be healed. But because there were so many people in the crowd, they couldn't reach where the Lord was. And so they got on top of a roof, peeled back the tiles, and then lowered him right to where Jesus was sitting. Imagine if this guy did not have friends. He would have remained in his position. There are people that you know. There are worlds that you have been placed in where God has positioned you to pay you a hell of a lot of money, which is a great thing, to give you a lot of influence, which is great. But those are for a purpose. They're for you to be blessed and then for you to become a blessing to other people. You see, because relationship has proximity benefits. And proximity means nearness or closeness. And so if we were all here and we wanted to get into a nightclub, because normally in church you can get in easily, you know, the doors are always open. But in a nightclub, there's a rope that they have there. And so if we wanted to get into a nightclub and I just walked up and I, you know, and there was a long line and it was packed, it was thumping music, they're probably going to say, nah, get to the back of the line. But if all of a sudden, who's my favorite celebrity? A guy named Boosie. Don't worry, you know. So celebrity named Boosie Badass. His name is Boosie Badass. So if Boosie was there, guess what they would do at the club? They would let me in. I wouldn't have to stand in line. And that is the power of relationship. It has got some proximity benefits. When you are near or close to somebody, there are some benefits that you enjoy. And this is what we need to understand, you see, that, you see, praying in Jesus' name has relationship benefits. Jesus went and died on the cross, and as a result of that, there are some benefits that accrue to us. Praying in his name, you can pray in the name of Stephen, nothing might happen. You know, but praying in the name of Jesus, it unlocks so many things for both your life and my own. You know, You see, relationships gives us access to things and places that we could not normally go and enter by ourselves or be able to have. In 2016, I was applying for a job as a director of corporate services somewhere. And so I filled in the application, 3, 4, 5 pages. And so, I don't know, by that time my family was in Botswana. And I remember sleeping one night and I had this dream. Very powerful dream. So I'm in the dream and I got these 3 guys, you know. And we were going somewhere. So I was, you know, I was walking along with them. We were walking along, and then we get to a door. And so I guess, you know, normally you stop when you get to a door. And the interesting thing about this dream was that one of the guys who was near me said, and in the way that I wrote it down, I said, one of them said to the one who seemed to have authority, these were his words, is he allowed to go in? And the response by the guy with authority, he seemed to have it, said, yes, he is. And I thought, great, I've got the job. You know, I've got the job. But I didn't get the job. But from that, it hit me that all those years, what that was telling me, you see, is that relationship opens doors for you that nothing else will. And there are countless things that have happened in my life that are because of relationships. And from that, my prayer changed to be, Lord, I pray for the right relationship at the right time. Because I understand, you see, that if the right relationship comes at the right time, it begins to unlock things and it will unlock purpose and destiny for your life. You see, we've said that 2021, it is about the power of relationship. You know, where we want to, you know, and how we're going to outwork this is that we're going to love God. And by that, you know, we're going to be connected. We're going to have moments and opportunities of prayer together corporately. There's going to be opportunities again in connect groups where we can gather together, because this is a place where things happen, where your faith and my faith get ignited, where all of a sudden we begin to see God move, stories that are untold. It begins to unlock certain things in our lives that by ourselves we would not have been able to do. And we will continue to come together and meet as a church and not forsake the fellowship and the assembly of the saints. Because it is when these moments are created, you never know when God is going to pitch up. You never know. We know that he's here all the time. He's here right now. But there are just some moments that God begins to want to do something. And I think that this is going to be the hallmark of who we are, is that we will not forsake the assembling, the coming together of everybody. We will not forsake attending connect groups, because you know what? This is going to be how, as a church, we remain connected with one another and also connected with God. We're going to love each other. We're going to support, encourage, and build up each and everyone's faith together. You know, which means that it's not the responsibility of one person. If I notice that somebody in my connect group hasn't pitched up to church, I'm just going to give them a, hello, how are you? Are you all right? We're thinking of you. We missed you. Click. You know? Yes, short and sweet, you know. But not from a policing. We're not here to be policemen, where we police people and say, where the heck were you? You know? And in Australia, they say, where the bloody hell are you? You know? You know, so, no, we won't, you know. So, it is just that because of the love that we have for each other, we're going to be so connected to one another. We're going to call not from a policing point of view, but out of love to say, hey, just checking on, is everything all right? You know, we're thinking of you. Is there anything that you want? And this is the thing, is that if you ask that question, be prepared. Be prepared to get a response. And the response could be, I'm struggling. I can't pay my rent. This is where it gets a bit tricky. You know, this is where it gets a bit tricky, because you see, this is where now faith comes to action. You see, because it's when we're not expecting anything and just giving each other the high fives and we're leaving, we don't care about one another, nothing really happens. So now when you've heard that your brother is sick or your sister is unwell and they're in need of something, what are you going to do? You know? So we're going to be those that pray, most importantly, but also we're going to be those that meet needs. You know? And that is going to be a radical church, because we are, that's just going to change the way we do things. So we don't just mouth off that we love one another. We're going to show it through our actions, not just in our words. And how are we going to, the other thing we're going to do is we're going to love our community. That's people that come into this church, that people that live in Fremantle, people that live in Wellard. We're going to love that community, you know. We are going to be the access point for others into the kingdom. Because that's what God calls us to do. Are we going to be willing to be that access point? Because you know what? Both you and I are safe, you know. We can leave here, come to church, and go to heaven. And that's great. But that's not what it's all about. It's all about the other people. And so what we need to be prepared for is to be a church of action. Is that where there needs to be met, we're going to meet those needs. Because God has placed you in a world, people around you. Now you are kings and queens of that world. You have authority in that world. You see, you are ambassadors. By yourself, you have got no power whatsoever. But because you've got God on the inside of you, you're an ambassador. An ambassador represents the kingdom. And so what happens is that wherever you are, the kingdom has come. And you are going to make sure that things happen. You may be scared. You might be, Lord, I don't know if it's you, but I believe you're saying to me I should just go and pray for that person. And you're just going to go and whisper something. You know what? Is it okay if I pray for you? This is what I believe. Boom. And pray. And all of a sudden, as we put ourselves out there, you're going to see the things that God is going to do in your life. And if I could just get the worship team to come back up and start strumming. We all stand at the door of opportunity. Because God has, I guess, will you give access to other people? Using your own personality, your own idiosyncrasies, the way God has made you, would you allow him to come into your life and begin to use you, or to use you as a vessel by which he's going to touch other people? Are you going to be that access point? You see, because what the building does, the building isn't the church. The people are the church. But the building is an access point to the kingdom. And so we're going to utilize the buildings that we've been given so that they become access points where we connect people with God. God has placed great faith in you, in me, and in us together. Will we be that access point that is going to touch other people? You know, just as we heard this morning that we're on the threshold of something that God wants to do. You know, and I just want to honor and applaud all those people that were here 25 years ago. Hard times. Hard times, good times, even harder times, times of frustration and times of wanting to give up, but you've pushed through. You see, these stories are important because how are these young people going to run? How are they going to renew their hope if people that were here 25 years ago never went through a struggle? It's one thing to go to this type of struggle and not talk about it. But it is our responsibility that we've been given by God Himself. And if you read throughout the Old Testament, that whenever He did something, He said, put up some stones. So this will be a monument. And so when the people ask, why are these stones here? Then it allows you to tell the story. This is what He did for us when we crossed over. When we were under attack, He did this. I applaud people that have stayed the race. And we want to be those that will come along and take and say, you know what, we're here, we're serving for the season that we're here in this place. We're going to do our best to ensure that we become that access point for people. This morning, you've got these on your card, on your seats, these cards here. If we just want you to let us know, we want everybody to get connected. So whether you're in a connect group or not, we just want you to fill out this card. You know, and you're going to tell us, please indicate if you attend a connect or not. If you don't, which one would you be interested in, you know? And also whether you would like to host a connect group at your house, and whether you'd be available to lead a connect group, and then of course whether you want to be trained as a connect group leader. And if you're not any of those and you want to be a connect group leader, next week Tuesday we've got a training night. We'd invite you, as many people as can come and be trained. And even if you don't volunteer, just come, you know, and be trained and just grow, because you never know when the opportunity is going to arise for you to have to do something. So please take the time now to fill out the cards. And then I'm going to get... Jared will just harmonize something, you know. And I really want to pray this morning I'm going to pray generally, you know, but also I want to pray for people that are in business, or people that are going into business or thinking of going into business, and people that are school teachers and lead schools and are in positions of influence. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm just going to believe that God, as a business person, whatever sphere you're in, is going to bless you with the right relationship at the right time. Because that is going to unlock certain things for your life. Yes, you will benefit from that. And your children will benefit from that. But it's also so that His kingdom will benefit from that. You know? And it says, for do not forget the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, so that He may establish His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day. You see, God has placed a lot of faith in you and I. And the only question is that, and God has spoken to a lot of you people here, that He wants His moving in your hearts to do something. And today is going to be the day where, you know what, you're just going to say, you know what, I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I'm going to take that step, you know.